This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I have a man here that's red hot for the Messiah. I've previously interviewed him. His name is John Carver. He has perhaps the finest archives of men and women that have had miracle ministries of anyone I know. In fact, he was commissioned by God to study their lives and put this together. And he's invested a lifetime because God told him that many men and women have gone to the grave that had understanding of divine healing and the miraculous that this generation doesn't know. And then I asked him, of all the men and women that walked in the miraculous that you've studied, and he has studied extensively, well over 20 years just to collect the materials, let alone studying it, of all, who had a ministry of full integrity, a ministry of scholarship, and the greatest miracles and signs and wonders of anyone? And he didn't even hesitate. And he said, Dr. Charles Price. And before we went on the air, you were telling me a story about Dr. Price.
Dr. Price, when he started out, you got to figure he was a novice. He was a modernist. He didn't believe in divine healing. He didn't believe in any of the things that he had been hearing about. And what he had been hearing about was Amy McPherson praying for the sick, and miracles were happening. This was in the late teens, early 1920s. And so in 1921, he goes to one of their meetings, the fight, to debunk this thing, and he ends up getting saved. And then he goes to a Baptist church. A friend of his was a Baptist minister. They got him there, and he had gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Dr. Price got the baptism of the Holy Spirit behind a piano. And Dr. Price started ministering to people to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his congregational church in Lodi, California. While he was doing this, he had to end up leaving there because there was a controversy over this, and the place was split over this, so he didn't want to cause trouble. So he went out into evangelism. And when he started praying for people, when he called for people to be prayed for, they would fall down. And he was totally upset over this.
Today, everyone is familiar, having seen ministries like, say, Benny Hinn on television, and they see that under the presence of God coming on someone, you can't stand. It's too awesome, too majestic, and people fall. But I can imagine if no one had ever seen that before, they'd say, like we Jewish people said about the manna, what is this?
Right. Well, you got to remember, this is just a decade or so past the Azusa Street experience, where God poured the Holy Spirit out in history in 1906, and the phenomenon spread all over the world. And so Amy McPherson and different people were part of that experience, and consequently, Dr. Price became part of it. And so there were things that we take for granted today that was new. It was a new discovery. We take for a lot of things for granted today that happens in Pentecost and in the charismatic movement that we just take for granted, like people falling down, and we think nothing of it. But then it was a phenomenon, and people would fall down, and Dr. Price would get them back up right away because he was afraid that that wasn't God. And so God had to correct him. And so Dr. Price had tremendous miracles would take place, and he believed in James 5:14, anoint with oil, and he would have this goblet that he would bring out. He was a very sophisticated man, and he would dip his hand in, and he would anoint these people with oil, And we've got photographs. God's blessed us with a tremendous library of Dr. Price with film and photographs to where you see him praying for the sick and them laying all over the place. And that was
multitudes be healed in
his
name?
Oh, yes. There's
of everything?
Of everything. You name. There was a lady who was an acrobat with the two-wing airplanes that they had in World War One.
Right.
Barnstormers, what do they call them?
Right.
Yeah. And they would go out, and she was at one of these country places, and they were doing acrobats, and she fell out of the plane.
Must have died.
No, she didn't. She survived the fall, but broke most of everything in her back. And she was prayed for by Dr. Price, and we have photographs, the original photographs, that shows this woman, the stretcher, the wheelchair, her holding the braces that held her together. And this woman was marvelously healed in a Price meeting. And he would go to a meeting, and prayer was the thing. This man was consecrated. I can't tell you how many hours with his daughter and his son. Now, they've gone to be with the Lord now.
You mean interviewing them?
Yes, I've done interviews with them. And his dedication to God was phenomenal. He was a man that spent time with God. And people don't do that today. We don't see that today in the ministry. It's everything's geared for speed and activities.
Let me ask you, a smart person once said, is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. What did it mean to spend time with God? Explain that.
In order to have the things of God. I try to put it in as a few words as possible. Jesus spent time with God. He would rise early and he would go spend time with his Father. And that is something that has to be done from the life of Jesus, from everybody to John Wesley. And spending time with God, it's a relationship. And you have to put the time in with God in order to have the things of God.
Now, if someone wants to really literally apply what you have just said, tell them practically what they should do. Let's suppose they have an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. They're working during the day. What would you tell them to be doing those 2 hours?
One of the things that, now, if you're talking to somebody that's working a secular job, my mind goes in two different directions right now.
Yes.
You say, I'm talking in terms of as a minister.
Well, let's talk both.
And so, okay, fortunately, I was a barber, so I could spend time in a barber shop and read when there was no business. But one of the things that I do is make sure that the scriptures is part of my waiting on God. And of course, prayer. And then there is where most people spend time reading and praying, and then they get up and leave, and they never stay quiet enough. See, quietness is a very important thing.
But from a pragmatic viewpoint, mm-hmm. someone says, well, I'm quiet before God for about 15 minutes and nothing happens, so I'm a practical person. I'm just not going to do that. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say, how do you know something hasn't happened? That's my first remark, because God is communicating by his Spirit, and he doesn't talk to our heads, he talks to our spirit. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the truths that he's going to portray to you are going to come to your spirit, not your head. And so while you're waiting on God, he's communicating things to your spirit that you're not even aware of at times. And then later on, it's communicated to your head. I know that sounds hard, but
that's revolutionary what you're saying. I've never pondered that before, but that's pretty good. I like that.
Some years ago in my early pastoral time, and I've got 33 years in, so that's significant time to go back and look at things. Had a young man who was working with Teen Challenge, and he got stumped one day. He came to me and he said, Pastor, he says, I'm not getting anything from God. And so I stood there for a moment, and I thought, okay. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said this, tell him to go back to the last thing that God had said to him. Now, God says things in many ways. He'll inspire you from the Word. You might have a prophecy that may come to you, or somebody might give you a word of knowledge or something. But God, most of the time, God comes through the spoken Word. and as far as the reading of the Bible or a book that's an inspirational book. I cannot sit down with Dr. Price, but I can sit down with his books. So that's like sitting down with him. And I said to the young man, I said, go back to the last thing that God said to you. And he went back and he picked his notes up that he had written down. You should have at least a shoebox with 4x6 cards in it and keep a record of the inspiration that God communicates to you. And then what happens over a period of years, you'll go back and thumb through those things and the Holy Spirit will use them. They'll build on. It's like he lays a brick here and then a brick there and then so on and so on and so on. And those truths were revealed. So this young man did that, went back, and God finished what he was saying to him at that time. Have you ever been interrupted in a conversation? Somebody, you're in the middle of a thought, and you're communicating something to you, and then somebody interrupts you very rudely and does something. Many times in our waiting for God, that's exactly what we do. The Spirit of God is not in a hurry to communicate anything to us except learn to wait on God. And it's very rude to interrupt people. I've done it. And my wife, every now and then she'll say, you know, you open your mouth too quick that time. And it's a truth. I'm bad for that because I have what I want to get across so bad and get that information into you that I cut sentences off on people. And that we do the same thing with God by not waiting on him. We'll get up and cut him off. So I hope that answers you.
It does. Now, tell me why someone should read the book that was out of print all of these years since 1936 or so, and now is in print by Dr. Charles Price, The Meaning of Faith.
There is something that I have learned a few years ago in the process of talking to and interviewing all the people that I've talked to. When people have information concerning faith, many times that information is just from the theory point of view. Dr. Price's book on the meaning of faith was written from the standpoint of all his campaigns. It wasn't written from the scholarly standpoint of view of a man doing research work, looking up words and definitions.
Yet he had the scholarship foundation.
Yes, he did. He was he was a man that when he went to Alaska in his early days as a big game hunter and as a pastor to a congregational church. He was a lawyer on a floating court, and I have papers that show the state, well, at that time, the territory of Alaska, giving him thanks for being a part of the martial court there. Of course, you had a floating court. They had to go from place to place. But he was a scholar, to say the least. The book, The Collapse of Faith, Price had been in a position to see people coming and not getting their prayers answered for sickness or whatever it might have been. And there are phenomenal stories that I have read in the Golden Green magazines concerning people where he had to deal with that collapse of faith. And so in this book, he takes you methodically right down the line of each step he's showing you. And he's taking
that's
one
what
level
people,
to another.
That's what people need today.
Oh, absolutely. There is a casualty.
Because the book is available for $15 postage paid, called The Meaning of Faith.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, cassette catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Look us up on the web, www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.